Parshas Vayechi, a lot of interesting stuff in the Parsha. Shadal really wants to unpack what the brachot are to the sons. Yaakov is giving these brachot, and it's very ambiguous or poetic. And to unpack exactly what he's referring to, and how the words that he's using, that's like Shadal's bread and butter. That's what he's really into. But before he gets there, he's giving brachot to Yosef's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And some interesting stuff happens there. Switching of the hands. Pretty much in the beginning of the parsha. In Memchet Hey, it says, V'ata. This is Yaakov speaking to Yosef. Shnei v'necha hanoladim lecha v'eretz Mitzrayim. There are two children born to you in Egypt. Ad bo'e lecha Mitzrayim, until I came down to you in Egypt, right? Meaning you had two children already, which kind of sounds like a little bit like until that point, and then you had more children or something like that. Which, by the way, Yehuda Herzl Henkin has in his new interpretations of the Parsha, in this week's Parsha, talks about, is it possible that there were more children that Yosef had? Anyway, so Yaakov says, by the time I came down to Egypt, you had two children, two sons. Lehem, Ephraim Umenashe, Keruvein Vishimon Yuli. Your children, Ephraim and Manasseh, are compared to Reuven and Shimon. Are like, to me, Reuven and Shimon. So now, what does that mean? Yosef has an idea what that means. What? So obviously, you know, are we talking about in terms of personality? Are we talking about in terms of order of birth? Because that could be Reuven and then Shimon, Ephraim and then Manasseh, right? What exactly does he mean by this? You should know that there's a pretty popular, I've heard it, and it's quoted in Dasa Kanan, I'm sure it's quoted in a bunch of other places. Ephraim and Manasseh is the same gematria as Reuven and Shimon. I think it's off by one. That's the idea, Ki Reuven with Shimon. It's about the same as Reuven and Shimon.
Why isn't it off by two? We would have said the same thing.
It's almost there. Don't ask questions on gematrias. I think that's what it is. I don't have my Mikros Gedolos here. There's something like that. Anyway, and also what's the point of the gematria? But okay, that's interesting on its own. But what exactly does it mean? Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuven and Shimon. I offered a shot having to do with maybe the order of birth. Maybe it's more often taken as, I'm taking away the double birthright that goes to Reuven, and I'm giving it to Ephraim and Manasseh.
Then
why would he say Reuven and Shimon? Right? It should be Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuven, or Ephraim and Manasseh are like Shimon and Levi. Meaning, if it's equal to two of them, right?
Two brothers that aren't considered the Bahor.
Right. Exactly. So what exactly is happening? So Shadal wants to answer this question. He says like this, Keruven Shimon Yuli, Lo Amar Sheyeh Yosef HaBechor Keruven. This is not to mean that Yosef was considered the firstborn like Reuven. V'gam Achar Zeh Yaakov Atzmo Amar Reuven Bechori Ata. If you look at the bracha for Reuven, he literally says, you are my firstborn. I don't know how great this is a proof. Like, Shadal is using this as a proof that Yaakov never actually took away the birthright from Reuven, from the fact that he continued to call him Bechor. However, I would say, like, there's two elements to the Bechor. There's the Bechor rights, and there's the Bechor, like, the fact. The fact that you were born first. But okay, fine. He thinks that that means that Yaakov never changed his mind about that. And also, you never find explicitly in the Torah that Yaakov tells Yosef, you are now the Bechor. All he says is this mysterious statement, which is Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuven and Shimon. Okay, nearly. Therefore, it seems to me, says Shadal, ki ad Yaakov lo haya pi shnayim noheg. He thinks that until the time of Yaakov, meaning at Yaakov's time, there was no such thing as giving double portion to your firstborn. That just was not a thing.
Why did he need to take the birthright from Esau?
You remember? You don't remember from Shadal. It's important that you're asking this question. According to Shadal, when Yaakov manipulated Esau into selling his Bechor rights, what that referred to specifically is not being kicked off the land by Esav. Esav, he was afraid, would be in control of the land and would run Yaakov off of it. But instead,
getting a double portion.
He does not getting a double portion. According to Shaddai, when he got the Bechor right, that meant that he had the right to be the controller of the land, so he couldn't be. So Esav would not have the authority to kick him off.
When you said that, I still interpreted that.
Oh, okay. So he disagrees with that interpretation, and he uses a similar proof as what we're saying about Yaakov and Yosef. Shaddai there says, if it really meant that Esav was no longer the Bechor and Yaakov was now has double the Bechor rights, and that's all what Yaakov was trying to do is get more money or get more land, well, guess what? When Yaakov lies to Yitzchak to convince him that he's Esav, you know what words he uses? Ani Esav Bechorecha. I am Esav, your Bechor. Meaning, Yitzchak had no idea that if this was actually the deal that was happening, which is that he got the double Bechor rights, and he should have gone over to his father and said, oh, you should know that legally I own double the land or whatever. But Yitzchak never knew that. So why would we assume if that was really what was going on, Yitzchak should have been informed. And Yaakov should not be calling Esav the Bechor. And also, Esav continues to call himself the Bechor. I am Esav, your firstborn, when he comes back from the field and asks for do you have any other brachas for me? So it's interesting. Shaddai is very consistent in both of these places in terms of we would expect this to be explicit in the Torah.
Firstborn gets more than the other children.
Where do we see that?
What?
Where do we see that? We see it later in Kitetzeh, which is all the way in Dvarim, that
Esav would have gotten control of the land because he was the firstborn, no?
So that's interesting insofar as there is something extra, but he's talking about specifically double the portion. Did that exist already at this time? So it's important that you're asking the question, clarifying. It's true. It seems that the Bechor was expected at the very least. I don't know if it was law, so to speak, but it was expected that the Bechor would be the guy in charge. And it makes sense, but to give him the double portion, that's the question. So he says, maybe it's so that the pishnayim, meaning getting a double portion, was not in practice yet. People did not do that. Rak mehavato et Yosef ratzashi yushne banav v'mispar shvatim. It was out of the love for Yosef, that we find out in the first beginning of Yosef's story, is that he is loved by his father because he's a ben zakunim. So that love transferred into giving him, I don't know if it was called a double portion for Yosef, but it was as if his children were considered part of the shvatim. And in fact, that's what ends up happening, right? Ephraim and Manasseh are part of the shvatim. And they all each get a piece of land. And Shaddai suggests that maybe it's actually from Yaakov doing this that the Jewish people started to practice doing a double portion. Meaning Yaakov went out of his way to give a double portion to Yosef and quote-unquote took the Bechor from Reuven to give it to Yosef, only insofar as he was giving Yosef's children a double portion. So maybe it's actually from Yaakov that we learn it, that we end up doing that. Meaning that's where it started. Not that Yaakov was following some practice that was already in existence. Al Kain, that's how you can understand what's weird in Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim 1:5 says, or I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles chapter 5, Pasuk Aleph, says, Nitna Bechor Toli Yosef. In reference to Reuven, his Bechor rights were given to Yosef. So Shaddai, again, is trying to fight against this. Not the idea, it wasn't really that maybe there was no such thing as taking Bechor rights and giving it, and transferring it. What does that mean? Korei lematznat pishnayim bechora memnesha bechor hayanoto pishnayim. He's saying, maybe it was because of Yaakov. Okay, so his first suggestion is that it seems to me there was no such thing before Yaakov as giving a double portion. But maybe we could suggest that Yaakov is actually the originator of that practice. And indeed, that would be what Chronicles is talking about when it says that the Bechor rights, the double rights that were taken from Reuven, were given to Yosef. Because Yaakov's the one who started it. That's the idea. Korei lematnat pishnayim bechora. And that's why it's called the Bechor rights, is the double portion. Because the Bechor would always take a double portion. starting from Yaakov's practice. And he quotes his son, Oiv Ger, he says, Oiv Gerzal, right, Philosinus Luzato, he adds, there is proof from the fact that he compares Ephraim and Manasseh to Reuben and Shimon, that it wasn't taking away the double rights from Reuben. That's not what was going on here. He wasn't saying that Yosef was considered a Bechor. Why? Because if he meant the Bechor, he wouldn't have said Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuben and Shimon. He would have said, rather, right? If he actually took the Bechor rights from Reuven, he should have said it explicitly, that's one. And at the very least, if it doesn't say it explicitly in the Torah, it should have been Ephraim and Manasseh have the same amount of land or the same like type of double portion as if they were Shimon and Levi, not Reuven and Shimon, because Reuven already presumably has a double portion. That proves to you that it's not exactly a double portion beforehand. Lo Keruven and Shimon, it shouldn't have said Keruven and Shimon. That's how we have it printed in our versions, although, again, we have the Xaviad version as well here. We have the manuscript version that has slightly different. One big difference is I see that he does not quote his son, Oiv Ger. It would seem to me that the difference between the Tefus Risha and the printing and the Xavian is one big difference is that Oiv Ger makes a big often an appearance in the Tefus where it didn't happen in the Xavian. So you have to ask yourself, who added that in? Was it Shadal who wanted to add in his late son, or was it the students who decided to honor Oiv Ger by making sure that he gets in? But okay, in this Xavian, he says pretty much the same thing without the addition of Oiv Ger's thing. He said, I'll just read a little bit from here. He says, even though it's calling it the Bechor rites in Divrei Yamim, it doesn't mean Bechor rites. Kori lematna zo Bechora li yot ke'ein pishnayim. It was Yaakov was as if he were doing the practice, which is already so much later in Divrei Yamim. That practice was known as pishnayim. That was being done then. It's not that he got a better piece of land. He only got extra shvatim, meaning he got two shvatim instead of one shevet. That's why Menashe and Ephraim are called two shvatim. I wonder, does anybody know, like offhand, the map of Israel, like the splitting of the shvatim? Does Menashe and Ephraim, is that considered a ton of land? I think it's actually much smaller than the other brothers, right? But anyway, so just continuing his caveat, he says, V'amnam haya ze dvar chashuv etzlam. This was a very important thing to be considered part of the Shvatim, he says. Ki yakar etzlam, hi karei lahem shem achrei mosam. It was very important for people that they would have like a name of a tribe that would take on their name after they die. That was important to people. That would be their, like, you know, permanence, was through people calling the name of the... That's true. But by granting Menashe and Ephraim that honor, Yosef felt honored as well. He says this is similar to Yibum. Yibum, that's exactly the point in Yibum, is that when a husband and wife have no children and the husband dies, so what are you supposed to do? The wife should go get married to the brother so that he can establish his brother's name, the deceased brother's name, in Israel so that that name doesn't die out. It's the same idea, he says, in Dvarim Chav Hei Zayin. V'kana Hashem Kaful, now the name is being doubled. V'ayin Pasuk Chav Bet, and he goes on about this in Chav Bet. So it's interesting, that didn't end up in the Tefus Rishon. That's a really interesting idea. Shadal actually has a similar idea when it comes to later on in Shmotz. Maybe we'll get to this. He suggests that there are more generations that are told to us in the Torah. This is how he tries to resolve the question of how the Jews were in Egypt for 430 years. Shadal suggests that you shouldn't pay attention to the generations that are named. Maybe there are many generations in between them. The only thing is, it could be that certain names were what people called those people, even generations after them. That they like lived on that name of that person lived on in their children, calling themselves the tribe of this. So that's why many generations actually passed with that name. So maybe that fits into what this means. Very interesting. Okay, so very fascinating difference actually. Now that I'm reading it between the Tefus Rishon and Xavian. and also somebody should do a study on, like, figuring out Oeyv Gare only makes an appearance later on, in later editions in Tfus Rishon, than in the first edition. Shkoyach.